lesson that we had started some time ago on edification. And if I'm to title the lesson this evening, then we could call it Edification News. I sort of like another title, but I'm not sure it readily will resonate. So that's why I chose Edification News. But what I liked was Edification Cardinality. All right, but that may not readily be clear what it is that we are talking about. And the idea is that we have cardinal points, you know, and it's sort of not a strange phenomenon for us. You know, we'll hear about hurricane is coming, and it's, you know, it usually comes from the east, and it goes towards the west. And, you know, we relate to our cardinal points. You know, some of us are from the north, all right, and we are here in the south, all right, and we often hear about the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. But what does that have to do with edification? Well, what we hope to show in this lesson is that when it comes to edification and to edifying, which is a responsibility that every Christian has, then it is important for us to recognize that it is multi-directional. God has an expectation that as we edify one another, as we seek to build up one another, then it is important to recognize that it is not just edifying the baby Christ to cause them to grow. That is included. But beyond that, we are expected to edify not only from the south, that's the downward. So north, south, east, and west. So oftentimes we focus on building up those that are below, those who are just starting, and we are trying to pull them up. And that is good. But let's step back a little. Because in the first lesson, which had its root, and we will continue, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 11 through to verse 13 and onwards, we got the picture that edification looks like study. That edification looks not just like studying, but edification has in its essence love. That edification has in its makeup not just us studying and building up, but that it looks like peace. That as we edify one another, then it looks like warning, it looks like comforting, edification looks like support, it looks like following after good, rejoicing, praying. It even has in its essence testing and abstaining from evil. And so what we realize is that when we talk about edification, it is about building up one another. And it may look different at different points, but it is a recognition that we are all in need of building up. That though some of us may be starting from scratch, some of us may still need edification because having started, we got broken and we need to be fixed again. The concept of edification not only has in its essence the concept of starting from scratch or having been broken, you are going to rebuild, but even for those of us who are faithful, who are trying and we are committed, that all of us need edification because all of us need some amount of expansion. That we need some amount of polishing in order to be fit candidates for the kingdom of God and ultimately to live with God for all eternity. So, we have already signaled that as we seek to edify, that it is not one directional. And we hinted that starting from scratch, we all recognize that the babe in Christ needs to be edified. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It highlights that when we start our journey, that we are truly babes in need of milk in order for us to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Following.
As newborn babes.
Yes.
Desire the sincere milk of the word, mm-hmm. that he may grow thereby. Mm-hmm. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's verse 3.
Okay, we can't stop there. So, well, from verse 1 actually tells us that we should lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking. So what we see is that when we become Christians, there are certain things that we need to put away. And then it now goes on to say, having put these away, or as we strive to put these away, then what we must do, we must desire the Word of God. That is milk. The Word of God is milk that is going to bring nutrition. To what end? To the end that we may grow thereby. And so what we see is that when one becomes a Christian, it is important that emphasis is given to knowing the Word of God. You see, none of us as Christians become Christians without having faith. And we'll see later is that what we do, we add to our faith different things, including knowledge. And so I want to leave with us here that when we have a new convert, when we have a babe in Christ arriving in the family, one of the things that we need to emphasize, place as high priority, get to know the Word of God. Start feasting on the Word of God. Yes. Having become Christian, we have some amount of faith. As we encourage, as we strive to build them up, as we try to encourage them, and you know, actually we are here, you know, we are at the south, pulling up. Even before they become Christian, when a person says, I am ready to become a Christian, I want to be baptized, one of the things we need to get into their minds almost immediately is that becoming a Christian is not just a one-day thing, a one-month thing, something that you're going to do for a year. So you want them to get a type of commitment, a resolve a resolution that they are going to stay with Christ. But beyond that now, is that becoming a Christian, because you can't know everything when you become a Christian. But you want to place emphasis on getting as much of the word in as possible. And so as we seek as Christians to edify and to build up from scratch a new convert, then one of the things we need to let them know is to respect the word of God, because it is milk. According to Hebrews chapter 5, you know, we continue to be babes. Chapter 5 of Hebrews 12 and 13. You know, those of us who are babes, we are unskilled in the word, and so we need to, by use of the word, we are going to develop ourselves. You are there? Read for me.
For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat.
So this was really a criticism of those Christians who have been around for a while, but the analogy is made that there comes a time when we need to move on from being babes. Yeah. All right? And so we need to start eating strong meat. But here it is. Whether it is milk or meat, it is the word of God. And so we recognize now that it is as we feed on the word of God that we are going to grow and develop. So, it is good for us to note that when a person comes into the church, we are not going to be bombarding them with all type of issues. What you want them to realize is that they need to feast on the word of God. So it is our responsibility as persons entrusted in working with God to edify and to build up one another, that we know we're going to say, here is a new convert. Here's a person just starting back or starting with Christ. How am I going to encourage this person? Encourage them to participate in all the worship activities, all the facets that the congregation has towards learning. So come to Bible to Sunday school, be involved in the Bible study, engage in worship, not just morning, but also in evening. Study, feast on the word of God as much as possible. You know, I can remember the early days of Brother Smith, and he had an eagerness towards learning when he came in. In fact, he had an eagerness before he became a Christian. You know, where he visited and you could see that he was studying. And that continued when he journeyed into Christ. So to the extent that within a few years, or probably months, he joined the Jamaica School of Preaching so that he could expose himself to more learning. So what's the point? When we see and have a new Christian starting from scratch, needing to be pulled up, needing to grow, then it is important that we are going to be encouraging them to feast on the word of God. I have news for you. Oh, and let me let the bag out, the cat out of the bag. News for you. NEWS. And that's the cardinality. All right? So what we are seeing is that those that are slow to come up They are south, and we need to pull them up. That's our responsibility. But here's another news for us. And we still haven't read Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In fact, let's read that. We had done it in the first lesson. All right, let's start at verse 11.
Wherefore? Comfort yourselves together.
Comfort yourselves together.
And edify one another.
So I want to emphasize here that a lot of what we're going to be hearing from this point on is going to be giving us an insight as to what edification looks like. Because the writer of Thessalonians, Paul, is saying, edify one another. You know, comfort, but edify one another. And then he goes on to say,
even as also ye do.
Yes.
And we beseech you, brethren.
We beseech you, brethren. We are begging you.
To know them which labor among you.
Know them that labor among you.
And are over you in the Lord.
And are over you in the Lord. So we just saw that the person starting off down south, that in the scheme of edification, we have a role to play in that, because growth is going to come and needed in that is studying God's word. But news flash, those that are over you in the Lord, those that labor among you
and admonish you,
those persons who teach you, like on the pulpit here, in Sunday school class, in ladies class, in youth ministry, those persons who are admonishing you, what are we supposed to do?
Esteem them very highly.
Let's esteem them. But it goes on further. Not just esteem them, but let us esteem them
very highly in
love.
So
not only should we esteem them and esteem them highly, but we should esteem them
in love for their works.
Very highly.
Yes.
But what's the context again? Verse 11.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves together.
And
edify one another.
Edify one another. And then he leaves immediately from there, and he's highlighting that as you edify one another, you are going to involve in that edification are those that are above you, those who are north of you. So even persons who are already in the faith, from probably our estimation of things, do not need to be pulled up from scratch, because they are already there. In fact, they are in a place where they are esteemed. They are highly esteemed. In fact, we ought to esteem them very highly. But what's the point? Even those who are above us are in need of our edification. That they are in need too of being built up. So perish the thought that the minister does not need any type of building up. That I should just leave him to his own because he is up there. In fact, he's the one admonishing me. He's laboring in the ministry. So what type of building up him need again? Is God in one turn? Well, the point is that in explaining that we should edify one another, the Apostle Paul goes on to say that in that process, those who are north of us, those who are above, on top, you know, and That looked like Jamaica. That's north. All right? Westmoreland and so forth is this way. So those are the above, all right, are too in need of edification. Which verse were you, brother?
Verse 13.
You are finished with 13?
Very esteem them very highly in love, yes, for their work's sake.
Yes, for their work's sake.
And be at peace yourselves.
Why should we edify them? For their work's sake. Are you mindful that when we have our leaders, our spiritual leaders, working in the congregation, that their work's sake, or their work, is really God's work?
That's right.
And so when we encourage them, when we seek to build them up, to encourage them in the work that they do, what are we doing by extension? We are building up the work of the Lord.
Amen.
But when in the reverse, we tear them down, we discourage them by our action and inaction, then we are hampering the very work of the Lord. And I like how it ends, that verse.
And be at peace among yourselves.
At peace among yourselves. You know, if you don't cause the leaders to be at peace, to enjoy what they are doing, then there's going to be less peace with even you. You know, there's another passage that says, you know, that, you know, those who watch for our soul. So the way we interact with our Sunday school teacher, with those who lead the ladies' Bible class, with those who lead the youth program, may very well impact your very peace while in the church. Let us work together. That's the message. Because when it talks about edifying, it's talking about edifying one another. So what have we seen so far? We have seen that as we edify, it is multi-directional. It is pulling up those who are just starting. It is edifying and continuing to build up those who are over us in the Lord. Yeah. And as I was talking just now, I said, you know, I didn't even anticipate this, but sometimes when you speak, you know, something comes out. It is not. Yeah, because I just said, those who are south, you're going to build them up. You're going to pull them up. Let it not be that you are pulling down. All right? But it's still a building up. It's still a strengthening. Because remember, we did learn earlier that edification does not always look the way we think it looks. Remember we said, sometimes edification looks like warning. Sometimes it looks like supporting. Sometimes it looks like comforting. But what is it in essence is that we are building each other up. We are polishing one another. We are rebuilding one another when we find ourselves in a demolished state. As we continue through the lesson, you'd realize now that we have two other cardinal points to look at. And I'm going to propose that as we build and edify one another, that we start with self. Sometimes we're glad, you know. Oh, I'm edifying. You know, I'm building up. And we see everybody else except ourselves. Where does the sun rise? From the east. And it sets in the west. So I'm going to suggest that as we take our sojourn through our Christian lives, that the very start in the east of our Christian journey, that it be with self. So let us edify and build up ourselves. Did we already start with that when we spoke about the new convert? That they ought to feast on the word of God, having had faith, made a resolution to continue faithful to Christ, then they ought to now gain knowledge. And the same Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us that. Study to show the other people. To show thyself. That's what it says, brother. You are the reader.
Study to show thyself.
Study to show thyself. What another word for thyself? Yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto
God.
To God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so what we are saying here is that having started the journey, let us start with ourselves. Let us feast on God's word, yes. Let us study. Place premium time to get an understanding of God's word about Christianity, about salvation, about the church, about where are we going? How to deal with false teaching? There's so much things that we need to learn concerning the word of God. Okay, I hope you are hearing me. There are so many things that we need to be learning concerning Christianity that is like we can't study enough. There's so much to know. Sometimes we don't even know what we don't know. That's right. So we have to start studying to even start knowing what we don't know so that we can start learning it. It is important that we start with ourselves. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 following, sort of shares the same sentiment. So this time it's not Paul now, but Peter. And he speaks and he says, verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1.
And besides this,
giving all diligence,
add to your faith virtue.
Add to what?
Your faith virtue.
Add to the person who taught you.
Your faith.
Add to the preacher's faith.
Your faith.
Add to the other person who sits beside you in worship.
Your faith.
And what's the point we're making? That as we seek to build up ourselves, let us start with us, with me.
And to virtue, knowledge.
So add to your faith, virtue. To virtue,
knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance.
Jump down to verse 8.
For if these things be in you.
If these things be in you.
And abound.
Are you seeing where I'm placing the emphasis? If these things be in you. You. And so as we talk about edification, as we talk about building up ourselves or building up one another,
let us recognize that in the genesis of your Christianity, just as the sun rises in the east, let us start the edification process with ourselves. Verse 8.
So if these things be in you,
if these things be in you,
and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful.
What we are saying here, you know, is that this will result in your growth. If these things be in you and grow, then they will make you very productive, very built up in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
You at verse 9?
So neither be barren nor unfruitful.
That you are neither barren nor unfruitful.
In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
In the knowledge of our Lord.
But he that lacketh these things.
If you lack these things.
Is blind.
You are blind.
And cannot see afar off.
You can't see afar off.
And hath forgotten that he was purged from the old sins. From his old sins.
That you have. You forget where you started. You forget where you started. And so, again, the emphasis is, never forget where you start. How many Christians have we known that when they became Christians, they were excited about Christianity? They come in and they're wondering, but why are you not doing more? And then afterwards, we see them fizzle away. Let's not forget. Let's remember from where we rose, like the sun rising in the morning. 9 is finished?
Yes.
Continue.
Wherefore? Rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure.
What?
Give diligence to make your calling an election.
I'm placing the emphasis on the you, because that's where it starts. As we seek to edify and to build up, let's start by building up self. Tied in the word of God, studying to show ourselves approved unto God. But as we do that journey, you know, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, then we are going to recognize that our Christian journey, though it starts, doesn't end the same time. And some of us will be in the church for long before we come to the end, the sunset of our journey in the church. But while we are doing that, we must, or even while we are edifying and building up ourselves, I want to suggest that we should not just place a focus on ourselves, but also on every brother and sister. That we cannot do the journey by ourselves. It is not enough to study and know the truth just for ourselves. When we know the truth, then we need to teach the truth to others. When we know the truth, then we must help our brothers and sisters to also learn the truth so that they too can teach others. That is why it is not the pulpit's responsibility solely to teach the gospel. But we become more effective in this world when everyone recognizes that they need to teach and to share the gospel. All of us won't speak at a street meeting. But all of us, right here and in the congregation, can have a presence at the street meeting. All of us can give out a leaflet at the street meeting. Every one of us can join in singing and allowing persons to recognize that something is happening at this time. Who are these people? What are they about? All of us can be involved some way whenever we are having an evangelistic thrust. But beyond that, all of us, each of us, have a world that the rest of the congregation cannot see, cannot meet, cannot make any inroads at all. And it is the expectation that we will impact that world. All of us. Now, as we, well, you're still at Thessalonians, jump back to Thessalonians for me. Because Thessalonians is where we have been launching out all of these. So, still at chapter 5, and I want you to pick up back at verse 11. Because what are we saying?
Wherefore?
When we talk about edification, it is not one directional. We see that we are pulling up the person starting from scratch, the baby in Christ. We recognize that even those who are over us in the Lord, even those who are admonishing us, who we need to esteem highly, that they are in need too of edification. We just saw that in this edification journey, it is important that we start with ourselves from the start of our Christianity, right through to the end. But as we make that journey from east to west, in our journey with Christ, then we are going to recognize that we cannot just focus on self. Let's read.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves.
Verse 11. Comfort one another.
Comfort yourselves together.
Yes.
And edify one another.
Edify one another. So yes, we are comforting one another, but then we did learn that edification looks like comforting. So we are edifying one another.
Even as also ye do.
Yes.
And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you.
Okay. All right, you can jump to verse 13. All right, so that's more the north.
Mm-hmm. And to esteem them very highly.
Yeah, read verse 13 now. You can skip 12.
Okay, verse 13. Mm-hmm. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake.
Oh, that's where you were. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And be at peace among yourselves. Now, 14.
Yeah.
Now,
we exhort you, brethren.
Warn them that are unruly.
All right, so I want us to realize now that as we make this journey to our Christian life, as we strive to build up ourselves and carry out the mandate given in verse 11, that's a word we're supposed to do again, edify one another. As we seek to edify one another, we are going to recognize that the one another don't always look the same. There are some of the another that will be very unruly. But you are still expected to build them up. How do we build up a brother, a sister who is unruly? Do we comfort them?
Mm-hmm. Support.
Let's read.
Comfort. Comfort the feeble-minded.
Oh, that's where it started. Okay. Comfort the feeble-minded.
Support the weak. Uh-huh. Be patient toward all men.
So how you reach comfort the feeble-minded and I'm still at unruly? Start verse 14 again.
Now we exhort you, brethren.
Because this is the quest. The whole quest that we're talking about is edifying one another. I say no. Now we exhort you, brethren.
Warn them
that are unruly. So you will come across persons who are unruly in the church. What are you supposed to do? Kick them out?
No.
We are encouraged to warn them. Mm-hmm. That's part of edifying and building them up. To warn them. This cannot be your practice. Unruliness does not have a place in the Lord's kingdom. If you keep this up, at some point, you're going to have yourself kicked out. In reality, you kick out yourself, you know. We just carry out God's mandate. When we talk about this fellowship, it's really you take yourself out of fellowship, and then the church has to act to balance it off. Okay? Balance it off, probably don't even be the right term. But it is when your conduct is one that is unruly and we intervene, we warn, we try to get you to be at another point and you refuse, then you have placed yourself out of fellowship with God, you have placed yourself out of fellowship with the church, and when the church now states it, we are just stating what is already the case because we understand it from the word of God. But what are we saying? In this journey that you have embarked on from the rising of your Christianity, that you in your journey to build up one another will come across persons who are unruly, and in your building up, you need to warn. But how are you going to warn? Well, you have to know too. you see why you had to start with yourself? You see why we had to make sure that we have knowledge? Because if we don't have knowledge, we can't warn. In fact, some of the same unruly practice might look like norm and okay to us. The word of God will guide us. All right, let's move on.
Comfort the feeble-minded.
So not only are we going to see persons who are unruly in this journey, but we are going to see persons who are feeble-minded, faint-hearted persons. Boy, how we must go street meeting. You know, see when crowd come, people just shoot up, people are weak and whatever. We can't go share the word. We can't be so feeble-minded. We can't be so faint-hearted. You know, when one of these street meetings, we go down to New Haven, and we probably decide to go deep down in there, will we still go? Question. Does God expect us to bring the gospel there? But what is the posture for the feeble-minded? That we should
comfort them.
Comfort the feeble-minded.
Support the weak.
So not only will we see unruly, not only will we see feeble-minded persons that needs to be edified and to be built up, but we are going to see persons who are weak. And apparently from all indication, this is not weak because they are young. All right? But it's a wider concept. But here it is. The way you treat the weak is different from how you treat the feeble-minded. Mm-hmm. It's different from how you treat the unruly. Mm-hmm. Some persons need support. Mm-hmm. They need to be encouraged. They need to be provoked unto love and to good works. They need to be supported. And the verse isn't finished.
Be patient toward all men.
You see wisdom in Paul here. Whatever you do, exercise patience. So if there's a category, they say, boy, me, you know, sometimes you come upon some strange Christians, you know. I've been around long enough, you know, you see some strange characters. I say, I can't tell if this person is unruly, weak, or feeble-minded. So my Bible says, be patient with everybody, including yourself too, you know. Yeah. Be patient with yourself too. And, you know, my mind goes to the song, and it's embedded in scripture. Great is thy faithfulness. And then it goes on to say, morning by morning, new mercies I see. You know, so we can all testify that God is merciful to us. Every time we see a new day, we recognize that God is merciful to us. Morning by morning, every single morning. You know, it's like, whoa. A new rising of the sun. A new opportunity. God is again gracious and merciful and give me another chance. As long as our journey is, we'll always be getting opportunities to edify and to build up one another. There's never going to be a time when there is no weak among us. No feeble-minded among us. No unruly among us. And even when we get to a state where everybody seems to be okay, and that might be a dangerous place where, well, everybody doesn't, it might just be that all of us in a complacent state, but let's say, then even in that state, we need polishing and refining all the days of our lives. Because it's another opportunity. And you see, that is it, you know. The church is of such that we ought to be bringing in new persons all the time. So even if all of us are around long enough and the devil don't get us, and we are on that good journey, we ought to have new persons coming in, and they'll have their baggages and their things to work through. And they are getting new experiences and need to be built up. So always, you know, we probably feel lovely, you know. You know, we do see God's graciousness. And the Bible tells us, examine yourselves daily. But even as we see the graciousness and the mercy of God day by day, then we need to recognize that when we talk about being involved in edification and building up, it should never be that, you know, I was involved in building up 10 years ago. Or, you know, 5 years ago, I was a very edifying brother in the church. So what about today? In our own way, we need to be actively involved in edification. What was the topic again? Edification news.
N-E-W-S.
As we edify, let us recognize that it is that we are impacting different types of Christians. What was my favorite way of calling the lesson? Edification cardinality. But it's the same